All right, welcome to Intensive Learning Workshop number 3, Children's Ministry Revitalized for Today's Kids Ministry. Equip your ministry team. What team have you been part of that was just a fantastic experience? Think back through your life and let's think about what makes teams fantastic experiences. What are some things that have been part of teams that you've been on that really made it a great experience? Don't tell me. Go to that person next to you, or maybe you're switching partners now, depending on where you're sitting. But talk about a team experience you had. Each person only takes 2 minutes, but I think it's important that you do that. And I'm going to start in giving you enough time to think. Long enough. All right, first person. Go ahead and partner up and talk with your partner. What would it take? Here's the thing. What would it take for your children's ministry for people to have the same kind of conversation describing what it was like to be on your team? That's the way we want to be thinking, okay? Now, I will give you one hint and see how this would influence your answer. Not that one. Children's ministry. One thing for sure that you captured out of this video clip would be what? Connecting to the inner child. Thank you. Another, too. Other observations. Wow. The common goal of creating something beautiful. Yes?
It's a family thing.
It's a family thing. Thank you. I think when you think of, and I think you need to really put it in your mind because you're going to be talking to people. What do you want them to experience by the time the whole team has accomplished its goal? Something tastes wonderful. It brings out that inner child, or it brings out that finished product. And maybe it has to do with what God wants to do in the finished product of the discipleship of a child. So what are you going to hold up? By the way, let's go ahead and take at least 3 or 4 shout-outs to things that would be part of your ministry team that would be important that you'd like to see so people have that kind of experience that's worth repeating and telling others about. Raise your hand. I'm bringing the microphone around. We need to get some group feedback here. I'll hand it to you. Go ahead.
The same vision, to share the same vision.
Thank you. Some others. What would you like your team to be like? Pass that down, please. Wow. Thank you.
A full desire to be.
Wow, thank you.
If they could be trained and equipped for the role,
yeah.
And what needed to be done.
Thank you. Pass that over. Wow, thank you.
To discover the gifts God gives them.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're going to put some of these, one more.
Yes, thank you. I was just going to say that I try to communicate by every Monday with all the people that are on my team.
Super, thank you so much. And we're going to talk also, how many of you will be in the session called online training? Yeah, because we're talking about how you communicate online with kids or with your team. and some possibilities and new ways of thinking there. Because we just want to start thinking new ways. By the way, you know what happened with this whole presentation? I spent a whole day embedding everything into PowerPoint. And by the time I finished, it ended up crashing. Because it was just too many video clips and too many this things and that thing. So that's why I am doing those things that you want to write down for the evaluation and say, this was poorly done. But guess what? I'm still leaving, all right? And this isn't the most important stuff. The most important stuff is what we're leaving with. All right, here are three categories of what leaders need to do to build your team. It's in your outline. The first thing is enlisting. And by the way, I do not use the word recruiting because that sounds sometimes like I've got to cajole things into people. I'm enlisting people part of a team. Training is helping everyone get to the very top of their game. And this is a real issue today because we have changed the way we view time. And because people will not come to your training meetings, do not think that you have not prepared well enough or whatever else. It's just that people don't like coming to training meetings anymore. Okay, don't take it personally. Did that feel good?
Yeah.
We got to think of another way to do it. And then rewarding. The goal has got to be clear, and it's a thrill to accomplish it together. I think someone else mentioned that when we talked about those things part of a team. And it really felt good in this video clip, Ratatouille, about finally, this is the final product, and we're bringing kids into a discipleship experience with Jesus Christ. So let's talk about these categories. First of all, enlisting. Is this, and we have a saying in Kids Count Ministries, when we deal with challenges, we ask the question, is this challenge primarily a spiritual challenge or an organizational challenge? Now, it's usually combinations of both. However, we do not want to spiritualize an organizational problem, nor do we want to organize a spiritual problem. Now, I believe that much of this has to do with, quite honestly, some organizational skills. But that being said, at a certain point, it does become a spiritual challenge or a spiritual problem. And we will not address spiritual problems apart from spiritual solutions. And what are spiritual solutions? Prayer. So many times we're going through challenges and we're not stopping to pray about them or inviting other people to pray about them or even going into a season of fasting and prayer, serious prayer. And what would happen before we even got to the enlistment era, the enlisting time, that we said, okay, before we start enlisting this fall, we're going to take, the team's going to be gathered together. We're having 1 hour per week of nothing but praying for people and praying for our ministry every week for 10 weeks. What would that do? Do you think you would be expecting God to do something by the end of that? Do you think you would have been prayed through people? By the way, what happens in the corridor when you see them? Oh, I've been praying for you for 10 weeks. Why? So, when I put prayer up there, I'm not putting something up there because you're supposed to always say it. We're supposed to do it. And that's just so vitally important. By the way, let me just stop before I go on that enlisting thing on prayer. Does anyone here have any ideas that you had in the enlisting thing that worked with prayer? Anything else about that? Let me just go off that a little bit more on that. There are times when we're talking to people and what people really need is to connect. They need to connect with people. And when you're talking to someone, you say, gosh, I thought about volunteering in kids' ministry, but my mom is, she's just not doing well. I think I've got to put her in a care facility. I'm just worried about how that'll balance. And what would happen right then if you said, oh, that really must be hard. It must be, could I pray for her right now? And you stopped and you held hands and you prayed. Do you think, first of all, do you think God answers? Oh, of course he does. But do you see what's happening here too in terms of building up a ministry? This is a ministry that really cares, and it cares about lives being changed, and it connects personally with people. So let it be a ministry of prayer and not just something that we perfunctorily go through. Now let's go to personal invitation. We have public invitation. And before personal invitation, public invitation. How many people have announcements made from the pulpit when it's time to enlist? Praise God, it's nice to have them, right? How many get a lot of people from that? How many people expect to get a lot of people? Okay, we got to stop that. Let's change our expectations. Should they happen? Yes, because children's ministry is important. But if you ever get up there and say, if we don't have enough people, we're going to close the fifth, sixth grade room. And we call that extortion. And there may be truth to it. However, who wants to be part of a ministry that you've got to extort people to be part of? We will not guilt people into this. We're talking about opportunities that they will be hugely blessed. And that's what we want to talk about when we get up there. Now, the role of the public invitation is what we call first hearing. And it typically takes seven hearings before people are moved into action. At least that's what they'll tell you in sales school. And there's a little bit of salesmanship here. Yes, there is. So that's the role of that. What are other things that are public invitation?
Written
announcements. Where would you write them? How far ahead would you start? 6 weeks. And what do you expect from them?
One or two.
Maybe, yeah. People know. Season's opening up. But your tone is going to communicate a lot. Other places. Yes?
I just wanted to jump on the public invitation. My first year that I did children's ministry in this...
Excuse me. I'm so sorry, but I'm going to hand you Mr. Microphone.
Oh, dear. The first year I did children's ministry in our church, I got in front and issued probably a 5 or 10 minute public invitation where I sketched out for the congregation what my vision for children's ministry was. And then I targeted particular groups within the congregation who aren't often represented in children's ministry, grandparents and the young people. And it was amazing the response that I got because I targeted certain groups.
I'm liking this. Who else has a story about public invitation? It's an important part. I'm going to talk about recruiting men in a second. Because it's... Give me one about public invitation.
Well, mine was more, not so invitation, but just talk after a baptism one Sunday, I just got joyous it is down here.
Oh, my.
Really positive, but...
Wonderful example. Thank you. Public invitations, there's a couple other things. Your part of your public invitations is how you're decorating. How do you decorate when you're getting ready for kids' ministry? And you may take a theme, for example. You know, it might be, you know, be a lifesaver. Hang on. Because I found this at where I went for lunch. And you go give a lifesaver to everyone that you see in the corridor. Be a lifesaver. And they see the big display and the summer theme and everything that's happening there. So it's just kind of raising the awareness. And also it says really important words that kids ministry's fun. Mm-hmm. Be part of this team. You're going to enjoy it. And as you tell stories, you want to tell stories more than just a good thing to do to raise invitations is if you can get, and besides, if you get pulpit time, the best thing you do is tell stories of life change. And the best, one of the good ways to do it is to interview the people, get them on camera, and get it up there. Just be short. And if you can't do that, be funny. And I think we might have some videos on ours that are just really kind of funny. We did one. It just took so easy. You could do this with a flip camera. That's what we did. We used a flip camera. And I got three kids, and I got some junior hires to give me their football uniforms. And they're dressed right there in front of me, and it comes on like this. All right, kids. Okay, no. All right, team. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. If there ain't a hole, you make a hole. Lineman. You know, so I just real quickly. And then you saw a little girl holding a flower, you know, and another kid going, I gotta go to the bathroom, you know, and it was kind of a funny sketch of how it is that it was join the team. Well, obviously, the join the team was the fact that it was just the catch at the very end. The kids count team is getting ready for the playing field, and that's all it needed to be. And he says, well, I kind of want to be part of that. We're helping kids right where they are. And, of course, this was a little bit of an exaggerated example of it. Anything else on public invitation? Here's one.
When I do my and try to explain what the role is, I just sign up. They're not there to the rapture.
Great. And that's a great segue into the next one, which is personal invitation, because we want to cover that then. Here's a personal invitation. I've noticed this about you, and I've been praying. I'd like you to consider if God's calling you to be a shepherd for an elementary age group of boys. Could I tell you a little bit more about that? And then you tell them. And when you're doing, you describe what it's like. But you ask permission to tell them. And this is usually kind of in the corridor. What's happening here is that before someone signs up, they really kind of know what it is that you're asking them to do. Now, the trends in kids' ministries is specialized roles. This is not one person trying to do it all. And even if you use self-contained classrooms, still you can develop a welcome team. You can still have music people go through. You can still have storytellers move through. So there are different roles depending on the person's wiring. And that's one of the things that you're talking about as far as the different roles. Now, we will mention the roles occasionally in public announcements, but we really work it in to the conversation when we're directly face-to-face. The more people that are making this conversation, the better. The more, the better. But you especially want to make it easy for your own leadership circle around you in kids' ministry to make those invitations, because who do they say no to if they're, it's going to be the person who asked them. Who is the one who's a good one to ask that is hard to say no to? Your kids. That's a real good one. That is one of the hardest to. So you prompt kids and you help kids. Ask them. As a matter of fact, we had a special dunk tank one time in between services that if a kid got their parent, you know, to come join our team, the kid had a free shot at this. So we just tried it. And by the way, the dunk tank on this one is a real neat PVC thing that you make in which you throw something and it hits it, and a swinging arm comes with a nail in it and hits a water balloon over the person's head. So it's real simple. And there's a how to build that one, but that's another company did that, but I think that we still link off to that one. Okay, other things on personal invitation. Anyone have something to share on that? Yes.
I was just going to say, I think besides the kids asking, the other best people to have ask is your other volunteers who are friends.
That's a very good point. And as far as men, the best person to ask men to volunteer is another man. And they need to be spoken to in men language. All right. It's kind of, you want me to do what? And yes, can you do it? And some of the benefits that come from it. And also the fact that a good way for you to see it is, first of all, what's intimidating is guys thinking that I can't do this, I'm going to have to come up with all of the stuff myself. No. We're going to come up with all the creativity for you. You focus on relationships with kids, and we're going to give you some easy ways to do that and help them discover the Bible and the truth. And guys go, really? Now, when guys go into a room and they see 40% men there, they go, this is something guys would do. And what we also found is that it's helpful to get guys up front because it's easier to get guy shepherds. We did have a problem that we had nothing but guys up front. And we said, that's not fair either. So we had to make sure we had gals up front in the upfront presentation parts as well. What are the things they need to know on the way to saying yes? Well, you're asking me to do what? Job description. Why do you think I am the right person for this? That's an important question. And if you can tell someone, I've noticed the way it is that you really seem to have fun with kids, that you would be, I think, really good for this, and you're really good with your four-year-old. What will you get out of it? Your kid is going to have some lifelong memories of you being a shepherd, if we just find that year after year after year. How will you help me? We'll be committed to your success, and we're going to help you. And one of the ways we're going to do that, for you to see if you want to do it, I'd like you to come next Sunday and just follow this other group. Just be part of this group. Just hang out with us, okay? We have two guys in it. Just see if you think it would fit. And that's a good way to do with lots of people. It is not good to ask and expect a response in the same asking. Have you really given them time to pray? No. Give them at least a week, but a good invitation. Could you pray about it and then see if the Lord's leading you in that direction? And if he is, don't, I mean, you're not saying no to me. You know, I wouldn't want to say no to him. You know, but you ask that question of him, and one of the ways for you to get to that question with him, if you're really praying about it, is come next week. And we're going to walk through it, and let's just let you see what happens in the life of a five-year-old group or a fifth-grade group. And then finally, how do you sign up? And in that signing up process, that is one of those things where you want to, in this day and age, you want to make sure that you have your application there as part of the sign-up in case you've got to say no. You will have to say no in certain cases that you are not qualified. And particularly if you go to 100% background check, background, then you are going to find some that you will at the very least have interviews with. And some you'll have to say no. But that's what's helpful. Also, it's so valuable. It says, hey, this really matters. It's an important ministry. Here is the volunteer application. Wow. By the way, even though I use the word volunteer, we try to switch that up sometimes. Half our culture says it, the other half doesn't. But I personally, anyway, prefer the word ministry partner as opposed to volunteer. Because they are partnering with something a lot more than just saying, hey, I want to go sign up for something and volunteer, well, you're one step above an average volunteer when you're partnering for the kingdom like this. Yes? What do we have to say about criminal check and background check? Right. Let's go ahead and talk about that in this next section. It's a very good point. And we're going to find a lot of background, a lot of importance here in the enlisting. No, I'm going to catch it right before this. In background checks, in our system, we've done it different ways. We used to require every person full background check. No, we used to not require every person full background check, which means that you send them send their name off and you check for any felony activity and any of that. We always had an opportunity in their application form for them to talk about is there any criminal record that may be detriment to this job? And if so, note that your application is confidential, and we'd like to talk to you about it. You'll talk to a pastor in confidence, or your children's ministry leader. You really narrow your person there. So now you've got one is their response and their application. The other one is what we're going to send in. And how many people do 100% background check? How many do not? And you do spot checks. Or in higher risk. And let me talk about this. You rate your risk levels. And if you are in a setting in which a room can easily be closed or the children are younger and you do not have a lot of other adults readily right by them, maybe just one or two, the risk is higher. So you definitely want to make sure everyone at those levels have background checks because you're measuring risk. But do we have background checks for people that go to our junior jams on Friday nights to go miniature golfing? We don't. Some do. And that's your call because you're doing it. But when we don't, we're very interested in noting what are the procedures that we have in place that help manage the risk. Because that's what we're doing. We're protecting the kids' safety with those kinds of risk. How many of you have ever had an incident happen of impropriety in your system that was reported? Different church? Yeah, it's horrible. Let me just tell you, I had one. And when you're in a big church, man, talk about news cameras. And I don't know how many times I've had news cameras there for different things. Not in kids' ministry, only one time in kids' ministry. But it was this. We had a member of our church who had his own husband and wife team. She was on staff as one of our part-time ministry assistants in working with children. Together with her husband, they had a ministry of creative dramatic arts, dance and other things. Dance, music, drama, those kinds of things with kids so that you could sign up with them and after 8 weeks, whatever else, they put on a show and then you go to the next. Neat thing. They needed the space. Fantastic. Come on in. So Thursday nights are yours. You get this space and God bless your ministry. He was arrested for child molestation. So what does the news camera say? A youth worker at King of Kings Church. So, and now you have people calling. And by the way, that will hit your ministry a long way. Now, in handling that, here's what I have learned. From the get-go, make sure you get everything as open and public as you can. Communicate, communicate, communicate. I emailed every parent. I said, this is what happened, and please pray for this. This is not under the sponsorship of our church. I talked to the news people, but I'm never going to get a real clean thing with the news anyway, because they're after sensation, and they're going to get it. But I want to measure as much as I can, take the interviews with the newspapers, that thing, but communicate to your people, because they're the ones whose friends are asking them, so your church is the one. And you go, no, let me explain to you what really happened, okay? So, but that'll tell you something. It taught me something. Someone uses my facility. Did I do a background check on them? I didn't, but it wouldn't have found it anyway. Did I have a policy in place that he had to sign? Yes, I had it in place, and I told him about it, but did he sign it? No. Now, he was communicated that there are two adult rule standard. Every place always needs to be signing, do you agree, two adult rule. They come in and visit, two adult rules. That means that anytime you have kids, you have two adults present. And then also your bathroom policies, so that if anyone is assisting a child going to the bathroom, that you have to have another adult immediately present within eyesight. And then if someone is going older elementary, they go to the bathroom, someone outside the door, and they have to go in and check because they are third grade boys, you know, and drag them on back out. But you need to have someone right there, too. That's just the nature of it. So you see how the issue is risk management, not just safety, not just who has the forms. Did that answer it adequately? Yes.
It's very much based on.
Yes. Insurance. Yeah, and that does make a difference on insurance, certainly. And our problem is where is that line? You know, because we go through hundreds and hundreds of volunteers. Do you, every vacation Bible school person? You know, do they have a well? You know, that is 400. So it starts changing. Okay. So we're past now enlisting, and we're on to the question of training. And in the area of training, of course, we need to help our people learn how to pray together. That's something that needs to be a big part of, if you expect spiritual results, your people need to pray together. And this is part of, since the days of the training sessions are over, and typically, if you can get in a year two or three training events, you've done super. Most training happens on the job now as you're going with it. But if that's the case, make sure that you, since you don't have a lot of time, but you have little bits of time as you go along, make sure that you're doing the most important thing and you're praying together. Because it keeps everyone focused on what's our job and who are we expecting to show up. We're expecting God to show up. Yes?
Group Publishing has a training.
Yes. Group Publishing, training on the go, and it's a leader. And you know why that's so important is that most materials out there are focused on training children's ministry directors and leaders like yourself. Very few are focused on training the participants. Now, if you go to our website, and I apologize for the fact that I do have a session on it tomorrow where I've embedded some of that video, but we've given you hundreds of snack-sized videos that you can send to your people. And it works like this. If you're a children's ministry director, there's a document that you hit, and it'll unfold the entire series. And then it says, every 2 weeks, you mail out a video lasts 2 minutes. And some weeks, it is a skill builder for each of the categories, such as shepherds, coaches, presenters, puppeteers. The next week, it might be a teaching video on what's appropriate age group development. So it goes to everyone. So, but for you to understand how that all that works, there is a document that if you open that up, all you need to do is cut and paste that into your email send it to your team, and then they get to plug whatever they are and tap into it. That's all free. So that's another one of those things that's on-the-line training. And the way you get to it. Now the question is, and the challenge is, to get them to open it up. And the way that works is if you, when you get back on Sunday morning, have at least a little bit that you talk about from that, even if it's 2 minutes. And we have these little dividers up there that this week's snack size video has these three key points. So the coach, all they need to do in their prayer time, the way we do it is the kids are not are supervised in a different place before the session starts. All the shepherds are together for that age group, and the coach is there, and they review anything about the lesson that may be of curious and any coaching point, and then they all pray together, and then they're ready for the kids. So that's when you would kind of tie into that that's online, because that is still going to be the challenge. In your training, orientation, every new person needs to be part of that. And that is where you review your safety and security procedures. And you may decide that it would be helpful to give them a certain status, because we have different levels of volunteers, because we have level one, and they could go to a Friday night thing that they do not we do not require the complete background check for. All right, because they're going with a bunch of adults and a bunch of kids, and they're at the water park and something like that, and they've had their orientation, whatever else. Now, level two and level three is higher risk. But orientations are important, and until they go through certain orientations, they can't get to certain levels. At the beginning of the season, I think it's always helpful to have two orientations because you don't get everyone to one. You may even consider lunchtime orientations. Lunchtime is a great meeting time because people are very jealous of their evenings. And also sports with kids, has taken much of their priority. Training then becomes a lot about coaching. So what you're looking to do is find people who will be coaches. Look for the ratio here. For every how many shepherds would you need a coach? We would say for every 4 to 7 shepherds, we want a coach. So that means that we may have 2 coaches if we have 14 shepherds in that area for maybe, second and third or third and fourth grade or something like that. But the ratio needs to be enough where you can be personally connected. And the coaches are the ones that you start pouring your life into and raise their importance. They're the ones that you want to have lunch meetings with. They're the ones you want to get ideas from. Because they're going to be your arms and your legs and your eyes and your ears out to your people. How many people have a coaching system in your system? The old days used to call this what?
Coordinators.
And upper level, department heads, yes, thank you. So they're going to help you with learning as you go. And because that's how people learn. After orientation, a shepherd would have 2 choices. They can go with another shepherd, and they can watch what they do, or they can go to their own group. Now, we make our experience easy enough that they usually go right to their own group. However, don't oversell how easy it is, because we don't want them to get the idea that it's not significant just because we've made it easy. Nor do we want to get them the idea that they shouldn't prepare, because a lot of people can get by on the 3 stoplight preparation. You know what that is?
Yeah.
3 stoplight? Because if you have 3 stoplights between your house and church on Sunday morning, you can prepare your lesson on the way. And a lot are going to try that. We just want to hold up. It takes a little bit more than that. And even hold up the idea that a great preparation is spiritually to be praying through your kids and praying through the spiritual meat of the lesson, stuff you won't ever talk about. That's why in our curriculum we include something, and this was all born out of our experience. So then we just shared it and gave it away. But it's called Shepherd's Path. We want every shepherd to have devotional preparation with the material during the week, even if it doesn't apply to exactly what they're going to be teaching Sunday, just so that they're digging into Scripture a little bit more and applying it a little bit more. Teaching skills are the Skill Builder events or Skill Builders Online that I did mention that. But other teaching skills can happen in our system anyway, and maybe how many people can still get away with monthly meetings for building skills? Is it working? Tell us how you do it.
I think we've always done monthly Sunday school meeting, but we're...
Who can tell me why it works?
Socialization.
Socialization. What do they want? What do your people want? They want relationships. And that's what they're getting. And whether you're in a small church or a big church, they still want the same thing. It's a little bit, it may be harder to have as much relationship building in a real big church in that same category, but the same thing must be true. They come so they can get connected relationally. Yes, here comes another.
We also have a monthly meeting, but in between, I keep connected with the teachers on email. I find that...
I thought this session ended at 2:30. Does it? I'm having a challenging day.
You didn't have your chocolate.
I also did not have someone back there going like this. I apologize. I'm going to go real quickly. Just the rewarding is prayer. How can we pray for it? Vision. This is that whole section of the how do you reward people. And one of the greatest rewards is just like a little video we watched, it's the finished product. Let them see how their discipleship is paying off. And the reward is relationships. Let's have friends. Let's make friends. And let's find, if you really want to get that thing going great, it's great to have people over to their house. It's a much better place. And anyone, any director who starts inviting people over to their home, you don't have a problem. Recruiting people if they just come over socially because you start connecting. And appreciation, I appreciate who you are and what you do, and this should happen seasonally, usually at the end of the year. Everyone needs to get together and have a big party. That's just a good way to do that one. And appreciation ideas and the appreciation language. I took some of that from Gary Chapman and Paul White. Words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, tangible gifts, physical touch. That's all there. So let's close in prayer.